Oh, welcome to another episode of Little Shows
Whoa,
That Couldn't.
You're back. What?
Yeah, it's Little Shows
Crazy.
That Couldn't. We're going into Lucky Louie for a fourth episode, part four of Lucky Louie. I'm your
part
host,
four.
Brett Medill. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
Yeah.
You've been hearing him. There he is.
I say things sometimes.
And so today we're going to dig right into episodes 7 and 8. Of Lucky Louie. The first one we're going to do today, episode 7, is titled Discipline. And so this one is largely about child rearing.
Ooh.
Right?
What a great topic.
It opens up with some pillow talk.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Which ends up leading to Louie examining Kim's butthole, like you do.
Yeah, you know, just in case someday... Kim is to die in some horrific way in which her dental records are destroyed, but her butthole remains intact.
Right. Like her face getting smashed by a subway or something.
Yeah, like she falls face first into a pile driver.
Right. Or, you know, gets her top half of her body into an auger somehow.
Or Louie has a heart attack and falls on her top half.
Right.
Well, that won't really work because then they'll need an additional party to identify her.
And then she might just be lost forever at that point.
Yeah, you're right. Well, in any case.
Either way, Louie checks out Kim's butthole. Kim accidentally, well, not even accidentally, she purposely slipped a finger up Louie's beehole while they were doing it. And Louie was a little uncomfortable about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she just assumed that he wanted to do the same thing to her.
Right.
And
with his
and once she forces him to look at it, and then
he definitely
now
he
and then he does want
to get
to,
all up in there,
and then so that she can say no.
And she says no.
So it all becomes a whole big thing just so that Kim can reassert that he cannot do things
right to her butthole,
even though he didn't want to before.
No.
But yeah, this episode largely then becomes about parenting.
And then we talk about kids and parenting and stuff.
Really, this one's about parenting, guys. And about what it's like. I mean, and Louie covers it and chewed up, I think, a bit when he talks about how his daughter is a jerk.
Yeah, he definitely covers a lot of his children are jerks material in his stand-up. But this, we kind of get like a full view of how much of a jerk that this little kid can be.
Yeah, we get a nice Terrible 2 kind of crappy child.
Yeah, well, Louie trips over some of her toys in the kitchen and demands her to pick them up like a parent would do. But Lucy is completely not on board with picking up her toys.
No, she's not having it. That's, you know, she plays, you pick them up, that's your deal.
Right. And Louie gets frustrated, surely.
Like you would.
And Kim completely undercuts Louie and just starts picking up the toys and tells Lucy to go play in her room or whatever.
Yeah, really really helps Louie to understand why someone might throw a baby into a garbage can. Which
I guess.
Which is, doesn't he say that?
He does say that, yeah.
It's just like, which helps you understand what it's like to be at home all day with a child like that. It works on your psyche.
Yeah, I guess it could.
It's grating. It's stressful. It's I think that's one of the things they do to prisoners in Guantanamo Bay is
they chain them up in a room where they give them.
It's like when you give a prisoner a pet to help them teach them about responsibility.
Well, you give
a Guantanamo prisoner a child to raise,
right?
And but then we make sure that those childs are incorrigible.
Right, and in their
those
twos,
childs. I just said that those childs.
Childs?
The children are incorrigible monsters and jerks, so that it will so that they can feel this same kind of torture. Well, they're at very least working on an Oculus Rift way to simulate that torture on Guantanamo Bay.
Guaranteed they are. I mean, it's going to be like a single use only kind of thing, but It'll make its rounds. I'm sure it'll work.
It's this great Oculus Rift game. You know, you put it on, and then you have to try and convince this toddler to pick up her blocks for several hours.
This child is incorrigible, and you must get her to pick up her toys, or else she will scream for 20 minutes straight.
What tactics are going to get this child to pick up the blocks? Bargaining? Violence? It's up to the user to decide what tactics they want to try and implement in the game.
Or just give up. Just give up, like Kim seems to do.
In the end, the only way to win is to give up and give the child a slice of cake.
And a present that is meant for another kid. In this case, Lisa, who is Walton Ellen's
kid.
Yeah,
so then they have to go to, they go to Lisa's birthday party.
After she opened up the present and played with it for a bit.
Yeah, where Lucy has already previously enjoyed Lisa's birthday gift. And when they get there, Lucy demands a closer view of the cake to such an extent that she, you know, runs into, knocks the cake over and ruins the party.
And ruins everything. Because, I mean, I don't want to sound immature here, but Lucy is really turning into a farty-faced poopy pants, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. A little bit, Sean, I'm with you.
I know. It's getting ridiculous. So Kim decides to take some time off work and spend time with Lucy at home and bakes her a cake, which Louis immediately says, isn't that stupid?
Yeah. What we're seeing here is definitely that it's how important it is for parents to be on the very same page when it comes to...
raising and disciplining a kid.
Disciplining the child. They need to have the same standards, and it's not really going to work out so well if one of them's trying, if Louie's trying to get her to pick up her blocks, and Kim's just trying to be her friend and give her cake.
And baking her cake and letting her eat cake for breakfast. It's just not going to work. Not going to work out.
Not going to be a good idea.
That's basically good cop, bad cop. But like on each extreme.
Yeah, and except that you're not dealing with a prisoner, you're dealing with your child.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to develop this person, not get the answers out of them.
You don't have to pick up your toys. Here, have some cake. Pick up your toys!
Like the child is what, 2-3 years old. This is how it works. The child understands how to use a few words. But they don't understand how to really express themselves.
Right.
So they become frustrated and limited as well, right? And but they start lashing out. Poor, poor Rich. You're just trying to enjoy the park like you normally do.
Right.
And Lucy walks right up to Rich and tells him he's straight up is ugly.
Well, I mean, he greeted her. He was trying to be nice, you know, like you do, and talk to kids like a human being and get on her level, you know. And see how she's doing. And just immediately, just the first words that come out of her mouth are just bile and venom.
Just a rotten.
Spit right in Rich's face.
You're
ugly. Right in his ugly face.
Right in his ugly, ugly face. And Jim Norton, he sells it perfectly.
He definitely does.
I thought he was great in that scene. And it really, Mike's mean too. Like,
well, he encourages Louis to hit Lucy, which I'm gonna say goes nowhere, just on a whim.
And Louis at least understands who he should and shouldn't listen to, because then he goes and he consults with Walter.
Yeah,
and he ends up asking Walter, like, "Hey,
what did you do when Lisa was being a giant jerk?"
Yeah, exactly. How do you deal with this? And Walter shares the secret with him: timeouts.
Sounds reasonable.
1 minute per age. She's four, right? She's four. Right. It's not two.
So 4 minutes.
Saying two or three. She's four.
4 minutes and a timeout. But Louis, being Louis, kind of screws things up.
Yeah, he decides that timeouts take place in the closet.
Yeah.
So he's kind of creating his own Guantanamo Bay in his apartment, and sending Lucy to it. We get this clear understanding that everybody's trying to do a little better than their parents did.
Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to improve on how they were raised, but they don't always know how. Because, yeah, they're not necessarily...
Because they know their parents' method didn't work, so they want to try something else, but they don't know anything
But they
else.
Don't know what else might be better, yeah. So he needs a little help, and but he gets that. And
right.
Well, Louie's, like, going through the stages of grief or something while Lucy's in that timeout, right? Like, she's in the closet just yelling about how she hates her dad, and dad is... Papa's stupid. And,
right.
Right? And he's just... We get to watch Louie go through a bunch of, he just cycles through a bunch of different emotions while that's happening.
Yeah.
Until finally, like, coming to some peace.
He rocks out to some Ashley Simpson.
Right.
He flips off the door that his daughter is in.
Uh-huh.
He
acts out a little in there.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's okay. But then Lucy kind of Cartmans this situation and yeah. kind of turns it on her head and like, oh, wait.
You know what?
You want to put me in the closet? Well, I want to be in the closet.
I'm going to stay here.
I'm going to stay in this closet. The closet's mine now. You can have everything else. I live here.
Yep.
This is how it is. I will, like, make no mistake about who is in charge here. Lucy's saying that she is in charge.
Right.
And that she will dictate the terms on which life is, you know, the game of life is played.
Right. I'm the commander, and I say I stay in the closet, I say.
And in a lot of ways, it works for her.
A little bit.
When Louis becomes concerned, because she won't leave the closet, so Louis gets upset, and so he's going back to Walter to try and figure out how he can manage this, and while he's out there getting shut down by Walter,
yeah.
who is no longer on board, put your daughter in the closet.
I can't help you, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, Walter means so well. He means well. He keeps that olive branch keeps coming out. Like, he keeps giving Louis a little more, like, every time, trying to be the good guy, trying to be the nice guy. And it feels like Walter always ends up feeling like he gets burned, pretty much,
yeah.
right? Like, he tries to help Louis, and he always feels like his advice ends up, like, going sour and that he's not actually helping. But he means well, and it's great. And if Louis could really execute Walter's advice the way Walter does, I'm sure it would work, right? But while he's out there, Lucy locks Louis out of the apartment.
And immediately finds the ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
How she managed to lock the apartment.
She knows where the ice cream is. She's four.
Well, yeah, for sure. But how she managed to lock the giant, like, or like the high little latch, as well as get into the freezer of the fridge, is beyond any logic. Well, I guess she could use a chair, so it's not beyond any logic.
She got it done pretty quick, though.
She got it done super quick.
Let's analyze the situation. I don't think that this particular child...
A 4-year-old is too small to grab ice cream and drag a chair over to the door and lock it with the latch within, like, 20 seconds. It's impossible. We are finding plot holes left and right.
This is just a completely improbable situation.
Completely improbable.
So
Louis asks Kim if he can sneak in. Sorry, not Kim. Louis asks... Ellen, if he could sneak in their fire escape in order to get into the window and back into the apartment and back in control, assumingly back into the control.
Yeah, but when he eventually climbs back into the apartment, Lucy runs into the closet with the ice cream and hits him in the nuts.
Yep.
So then we get Louis writhing around on the floor for a while in pain and. And eventually he has to resort to a new tactic. You know, he's tried the timeouts, he tried the other stuff, it's not working, and now he's in pain, and he's lying on the floor. He's at down at her level, and he thinks,
he's
hey.
He's livid at this point.
But then he just kind of ends up resorting to talking to his daughter.
Who'd have thought?
And they make some progress there in that moment.
It seems like it, yeah.
And they find some common ground in that closet.
And they bond a little bit.
That's right.
They bond until Kim gets home.
And then Kim gets home, and the whole pattern gets thrown back out of whack again.
And she starts emptying her plate on the floor, like a jerk would do.
Yeah, and at that point, Louis and Kim are like, kind of exhibit that they are not great parents because, in my mind, what happened? This is how parenting works. You, even though it seems like it's not working, you keep doing it, and right. eventually it starts working.
Right.
And Louis and Kim kind of go like, they just seem to kind of give up on the long haul school of parenting thought, and just, oh well, cut I guess we've got wherever. A rotten kid.
Yeah.
But it gets brought back up because in the end, Rich comes by and knocks on the door.
Right.
With his prepared remarks.
So he doesn't screw it up.
Which he unfolds and he lets Lucy know that when they were at the park, she hurt his feelings.
Right.
And it made him feel very bad inside.
And that she had to know.
And she says sorry.
That's all she had to do.
And Rich feels better, thinks she's a good kid.
And all is well in Rich's world.
And the four-year-old finally learns that all she has to do is disingenuously say sorry. And
she gets away with everything.
She can get away with a lot of things.
Yep. Nice lesson.
I don't know, it's a crazy episode about parenting, but it's a good one, and we get a lot more...
I wouldn't say it's as funny as some of the other episodes we've seen, but it's definitely hits like a note that I can relate with. I mean, I don't have a kid or anything, but...
Right.
It's something that, you know, every parent will eventually have to tackle.
One of your cats was a real jerk for like 1 year.
Oh, he's still a jerk.
But he's less of a jerk. He was a real jerk for like a year.
He's less of a jerk. He definitely had his jerk phase. That's for sure.
So you've like experienced that in a way?
I mean, it's really hard to reason with a cat considering they don't know English.
Yeah.
And every time I talk to him, I feel like I'm just going more insane.
I think it's probably as frustrating to deal with your cat as it is a toddler, though, in
but
a lot of ways.
But at least a toddler can, you know, kind of understand what's going on. Cats, they just, all they hear is, and then they meow, and then they poop everywhere, and then they run off.
Yeah. Oh,
so
cats.
I guess they're kind of similar to four-year-olds.
They're pretty endearing, you're right.
Majestic.
So I guess we may as well get into episode 8.
Yeah, let's do it.
Episode 8 was called Get Out. And this is, of course, the Emma Stone episode of Lucky Louie.
Oh, we finally get to see Emma Stone.
The pre-Superbad Emma Stone, even.
Yeah.
Just pre-Superbad.
Like 2 years before. I feel like we skipped the cold opening because this was a good one.
Sure.
Where they go to a pizza, I guess a local pizza joint. Or a
right.
close pizza
some
joint.
Some little hole-in-the-wall pizza joint.
Where Rich finds out he gets free pizza because he pretends to be mentally disabled. And I guess that empathizes with the people who run the pizza joint, so they just give him free pizza.
If you're a terrible person like me, you might laugh in the cold opening scene.
I laughed. I laughed hard.
But it's also pretty cringy.
But then he has the balls to be mad at them for giving him pizza, assuming it would make his life better.
Because Rich is never at fault.
No. Why would he be?
Rich is playing this. He's taking advantage of these horrible people. That,
yeah.
In his mind, there's these useless jerks that think that pizza helps, that a slice of pizza is going to improve some poor handicapped guy's life.
Right.
He thinks that that's despicable. That they would hold that position, and so he
Savages.
Takes advantage of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, what else is he going to do? He's rich. And then Mike does a similar thing, and instead of...
Yeah, Mike has another... Mike has his own way of getting free pizza, Sean.
He just flat out refuses to pay.
He just asks for a slice and walks away with it.
That's probably what made me laugh the hardest.
Just the look on his face.
He's like, just like, well,
like,
whatever.
That'll be $1.50. He's like... Yeah, all right. He just walks away. No, it's
he didn't
perfect.
Give him anything.
It's
he just
perfect.
Looks at Louis and goes, well, I mean, that's all you do.
But then they don't do anything about it either.
They just...
And then Louis walks over and then buys a slice. And then they all three still just are standing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of a weird scene, but it's a cringeworthy handicapped act that Rich puts on there. And it's okay. It's appropriate as it is because he's a terrible person.
It's been established in the last, like, 7 episodes.
And
so.
We understand that he's doing this as an act because he's awful and because
right.
he's taking advantage of this terrible situation. So it's but still,
Rich, come
we
on.
Get some more, and then the episode kind of keeps going on with Rich, because then once we get, like I said, the Emma Stone episode, they are at Mike and Tina's, they're having like a family dinner, and Rich is over as well as Louis and Kim.
Yep, having a big old spaghetti bash.
But you know, Emma Stone is leaving with her much older boyfriend. There, right.
Shannon's moving in with her.
Shannon
boyfriend.
Is moving out of Tina's house. Emma is Tina's daughter from an earlier marriage. Right. Mike is the stepfather. And Rich starts breaking down the family drama.
Yeah.
Discovery Channel style. He's been watching a lot of nature documentaries, apparently, when he sits around at home in his bathrobe. And he's got a lot of opinions on kind of how things are going to work. And that, you know, that Mike, as the stepfather, kind of stays out of things because his instinct is, what was it, Sean?
His instinct was to kill Shannon and then eat her.
Oh, okay. So
which Mike seems like the kind of guy who would kill and eat a step sibling of some kind.
He's a little bit of a troglodyte. He might dwell in a cave.
Oh, easily.
I could see Mike dwelling in a cave. I could see it happening.
For sure.
With that mustache. It's a real cave dwelling mustache he's got going on.
So Shannon moves in with her 50-plus boyfriend.
Yeah, who says no words.
Who says absolutely nothing.
Not one word.
Looks like a psychotic Michael McDonald. And loves gin, apparently.
Apparently, just can't get enough gin.
Because Kim finds her buying some gin for her good old boyfriend.
Yeah, there's a lot of red flags going on here.
Oh, God.
Shannon is not making a lot of good choices in life.
No.
And Kim can see that. And
it feels like it resonates with Kim because it doesn't seem like she was too different in high school.
Yeah, and though it seems like it resonates with Tina as well, except to the point where Tina also seems to understand that there's no way to actually help this person until she actually understands that she's making mistakes.
Right.
So, yeah, what was the line? She's a teenager, not a person. Right? Like, that's kind of a refreshing perspective to hear as well. Yeah. On the surface of it, it just kind of seems like Tina and Mike are being uncaring jerks.
And Kim is trying her damnedest to do what she can to help Shannon.
Absolutely. And then, of course, what happens? Shannon gets kicked out by her old man boyfriend who's going to go back to his wife.
Right.
And Shannon ends up at Kim and Louie's place.
Yeah.
And
it kind of works out at the beginning because Shannon takes care of Lucy for them. She watches them. She makes her breakfast and takes her to the park and
stuff.
Yeah,
it seems like it might be okay.
Seems like a good fit.
Briefly. But it's supposed to be short term, right?
Yeah, it's not forever. Eventually, she's going to apologize to Tina, right?
Right.
That's what teenagers do. They apologize.
And it just kind of starts getting uncomfortable, you know? But yeah, you're right. Kim wants Shannon to have more in her life.
Then why not?
And right, because she can be more than just some guy's cum bucket. Like Kim has. Kim is a nurse and Louis' cum bucket.
Right.
So like there's you know, there's a lot more ambition. There's a lot of room for ambition there. And it's
definitely.
It's funny though, because then of course Louis ends up becoming afraid of Shannon. Because of one innocuous remark. Or right. Maybe innocuous remark.
Well, I mean, I don't think she would have followed through with what she was saying. She said, it's like she says she doesn't know how to thank him aside from blowing him.
Right. Kim had the blowing people, a philosophy about blowing people.
Right.
That in Shannon's position, that she doesn't know any other way to show appreciation than to
aside from
offer a blowjob.
Yeah.
So,
and that kind of sticks with Louis.
Yeah. And, so Louis tries to then use Rich's zoology argument, he tries to leverage Shannon's potential willingness to blow him in order to negotiate a blowjob from his wife.
Right.
Which he fails to do because Kim knows he won't follow through.
Yeah.
It's just, there's some good character humor in there that's just really good. And so, it seems, yeah, you're right. It seems like it's working out. Shannon offers to babysit, watch Lucy so that they can go out and watch a movie, have like a date night.
Yeah.
And of course, when they return from their date, they find that Shannon is throwing a party. with her new much older boyfriend, yeah. Which she just apparently, hey, you know, Sean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it turns out that if you're like a cute 17-year-old girl,
right,
it's not hard to find creepy middle-aged dudes who will buy you things.
I bet that's true.
Yeah, it seems a...
It seems like there's a lot of
middle-aged
dudes.
Right? Shocker. Yeah. Really.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Young, nubile, and ripe teens and creepy middle-aged dudes. That there might be some common ground there. Really, it's like at-risk teens and creepy middle-aged dudes.
Yeah.
It's a more accurate way to
smart teens would be like, you know what? No.
You know what? I don't like my parents, but I'm going to figure out a way to get along with them and stay in their house so that I don't have to do that.
I'm going
to
write a novel about people who murder their parents. I'm not going to bang older dudes.
No. But, so, yeah, her much older boyfriend is the, I can't remember his name. He was the naked trucker on Comedy Central briefly, right. and he was the guidance counselor on Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Freaks and Geeks, a show that we will also watch for little shows that couldn't.
You better believe
eventually.
It. Eventually. We'll get there.
So we'll see him again. I just love that line where they get home, and Shannon's like, don't worry, like, they're cool. And Kim says, we're not cool at all.
Yeah.
And to which her old boyfriend's like, bravo.
Good move.
That's like a really... It just he says it with that tone where it's like, yeah, that's a really bold choice. Yeah. Like, choosing not to be cool is like that is cool.
Oh, that's is that cool. What he was trying to get at?
Well, that's kind of how I interpret it. Like, it's like, bravo, like, good job. Way to own it at least. Yeah, yeah. Like, hey,
I thought he was bravoing the whole situation, like, because. It wasn't cool. It wasn't a cool situation at all. There's a 50-plus-year-old boyfriend of their babysitter partying with a bunch of her friends.
Yeah, it came across very much to me as a, like, oh, yeah, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Bold choice at not being cool.
Yeah.
That's much more difficult to choose. It's more difficult to choose not to be cool.
But he's a learned guy, and he's a traveler. He just came back from Toronto.
Like, most people are just uncool naturally.
Yeah.
But you've chosen not to be cool.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Super cool. That's like meta.
Yeah, that's like meta coolness.
It's like super cool.
It's like jazz meta. Yeah.
So anyways, Louie and Kim bring Shannon back to Tina's, Mike and Tina's.
Where she doesn't seem to be that any happier to be there than she was at the beginning of the episode. But
right. She looks like she's going to take off almost immediately.
Yeah, but Kim at least takes the moment to try and inject some wisdom into her. And it...
Get some knowledge in her
It doesn't
kind of
seem
brain.
To take any more than maybe, like, wrap it up, you know? Like don't get pregnant. Seems to be maybe the only...
And to not bang older guys.
Yeah. Don't.
That's what she gets from it, basically.
Don't get pregnant. Don't bang old dudes. Don't get pregnant.
And Kim.
Which is practical advice for most people.
I'd say so.
Like, Sean, I don't want to see you banging creepy old dudes or getting pregnant.
That's
right? Like, that's good advice for you.
That's really good advice, yeah. I don't want to get pregnant. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'd get so fat, my breasts would sag.
Yeah, like, you saw what happened to Arnold.
Yeah, I did. I just watched that movie because it was on How Did This Get Made, but that's neither here nor there.
Junior.
They just finally did it. They've been using the poster forever, and it's episode 100, and they're finally doing it.
We're not giving plugs to any other podcasts.
No.
Here.
Earwolf Productions.
Ear pop. Wasn't it pop? What is it?
No, it's Earwolf.
Aren't they doing the pop wolf thing? Isn't there like a
There's like a sub branch or something, but unimportant. Yeah, we can talk about that off mic.
So after the little bit of wisdom gets shared, we get to close it out where Kim gives Louie a little callback to her teenage days.
Her dirty jazz whore days.
When she digs out her dirty jazz whore hat.
And then things get spicy.
This is just, caliente. You know, it's just a good show, Sean.
I love this show.
It's
too bad it only lasted one season.
Yeah, the more we watch it, the more I remember how much I like it. Louis just keeps, the characters keep getting stronger. The writing is staying solid. They're telling, nice, human stories. The budget is low. They weren't pouring money into it.
It's noticeably low.
Exactly. It just, it seems like it would have been so simple to have gotten more of this. I feel robbed.
A little bit.
I don't feel that way about Clerks the Animated Series.
No, you would have been fine with the 6 episodes.
I feel like, it had a chance to, it got an opportunity to make a few episodes, see if they could do something interesting. And I think that there's no way that was going to work.
You don't think so?
I don't think there's anywhere that show could have worked at the time.
I suppose.
But very, very particularly, it couldn't work at ABC at that time.
Oh, God, no.
Right?
It's a miracle it even happened at ABC, to
there's
be honest.
No way that was going to work out for them.
No.
So it's just like, and it wasn't that good.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion, I suppose.
I
really enjoy all those. Well,
I really
episodes.
Like that world and those characters and that style and the humor and everything. But it just, as far as it being a show that tells stories and stuff, it wasn't.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
It was
a string of I don't know, pop culture
it
references.
It needed something. It was missing something, but whatever.
That's
neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Lucky Louie isn't missing it.
That's true.
It's not missing anything. It's got
the only thing I wish Lucky Louie had was more Laura Keitlinger.
Yeah.
Because up to this point she hasn't been up front and center, you know? She's always been either Kim's voice of reason or just talking about or just getting Mike into worse situations.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
she's awesome.
Yeah, she hasn't had very many opportunities to do that much.
Yeah.
And you're right, she's been very strong, a very strong and memorable character
mm-hmm.
on the show for sure. Yeah, I think it's a very well-cast show.
Absolutely.
Louis cast people he knew, but they were right for the roles they had.
Yeah, totally.
And I think for the most part, those roles were probably written for those people in a lot of those situations. Anyway,
yeah, definitely.
No one's casting Rick Shapiro through a casting process
or Jim Norton.
No, there's not a lot of people who are gonna receive Jim Norton's headshot on your casting director's desk and be like,
"Him,
sign me up."
Get him.
No, that's the kind of headshot that when it crosses your desk, you put a stamp on it of some sort. Or
says no.
Or it's not even a no, but it's such a special no that you're I have to save this for when I need to stock table 9 during The Wedding Singer. And I need a Brian Posehn and a Jim Norton. And I got
to say Love Stinks, damn it.
When I need to stock a table of weird-looking people in a movie, I go to this file that has Jim Norton's headshot in it. It's uncomfortable to think that, but also that's
probably true.
That's kind of a thing that happens for some people.
Guaranteed it happens. So who's your MVP for these two episodes?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. I'm giving it to Jim Norton. I'm giving it to Rich.
I'm with you with Rich.
He's never around for very long, and he never has very many lines.
No.
But he makes a splash.
Yeah.
I think...
And his confrontation with Lucy at the end of Discipline is great.
It's a really good moment, and it's a really good moment when she tells him he's ugly, and he sells it's that pain.
Yo,
he has that
pain
in that moment, and it's so real, and he's hurting. Yeah, and then in the next episode, he's
pretending to be handicapped for pizza.
Whatever,
it's funny, but I mean, it's totally off balance.
I'm giving it to him anyway.
Yeah,
He cuts an image in these two episodes that's memorable, and I'm gonna give Jim Norton those props because I like him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's episode 7 and 8, yo.
Episode 7 and 8. There's a few more to go. And we'll be...
Five more.
Yeah, looking forward to...
Two more episodes, I think.
Closing this one out and move on to the next one.
Moving on to Clone High, yo.
Yeah, probably. We might be Clone High. We might...
Might be.
We might mix it up. I don't know.
Maybe do a one-off of certain...
Maybe something terrible.
Certain German dictator
maybe try
sitcom.
And maybe... Maybe put an undergrads in there before Clone High.
Ooh,
or
I'd like
something.
To do undergrads too.
You know, something like that, maybe.
But who knows? Who knows what the future
There's
holds?
There's a lot of possibilities on the docket. Why don't you go to littleshowspod.com?
Give us some suggestions.
Or give us some at replies on Twitter at littleshowspod. Let us know what shows you want us, you want to hear us cover. You know? We, of course, everyone wants Clone High. Everyone wants Firefly and Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
What's important to you? We know those. Give us a little direction. Tell us what you want to hear.
Something we haven't heard of before.
Yeah. You can hit Sean Stewman, Shaunstewman, on Twitter.
Me.
And I'm Brett Mad, Brettmad. So check us out on Twitter. Check out Little Shows Pod on Twitter, our website. Let us know what you think.
Littleshowspod.com.
Weigh in.
Weigh
this
in.
It's for you.
Do it.
We want to be your little TV watching friends that you can visit with on a weekly basis.
That you can taste. Taste us.
Taste it.
Taste your phone.
Taste.
Taste it.
Taste.
See you next time.